Okay. Now I need two volunteers who would like to take part in a game. Or two press people. Well, that's very kind of you, Steve. This would suit someone who's perhaps, you know, 9 or 10 years old, or perhaps a little older. Owen, you'd like to come to this, I'm sure. Excellent. Thank you, Thomas. No, Matthew. Hello! Brilliant. Now, can we have the slide up, please? Now, you're probably far too young for this. So if you could stand here. Brilliant. And face that way. You could stand here, Owen, and face that way. Now, slide, please. So I don't know if this is part of your childhood. Well, don't you remember Timmy Mallet? Mrs. Lloyd was too young for this. Timmy Mallet, you have a game. Mallet, word association game, okay? Terrifying, isn't it? So, you mustn't pause and you mustn't hesitate, and you have to say a word that could be reasonably associated with the word I say, okay? And then you'll say a word, and you'll say a word, and you'll say a word, and so on, each word having a reasonable association with the previous word. And anyone who doesn't say a word that is associated with that word will get thumped on the head, not just with, not with Mallet Mallet, but with Mark Cushion, okay, which won't kill you. So, the first word is sausage. Bacon. You mustn't pause, mustn't hesitate, okay? Blue.
Green.
Okay, good. Car.
Van.
Driver.
Oh dear, aren't they rubbish? Well, this is endless free fun for you at home, bossy much fellow with tissues. What about love?
Hate. Guy.
Dad.
Okay, well, John, what about obedience?
Disobedience. Johnson.
Okay, very good. Thank you, mate. Let's give him a round of applause, shall we? Now, great. I think we can probably lose that slide. So, now, the point of that is that we wouldn't necessarily always associate love and obedience, would we? So, feels like we're in different worlds when we talk about love and obedience. Now, love, as we think of an emotion that overcomes us, you know, we're thinking very much of Steve and Merrill's forthcoming service next week. They celebrate 30 years of marriage. I don't know how it was. Perhaps, you know, Steve looked across a crowded room, saw Merrill, knew that she would be the love of his life. You know, perhaps it was love at first sight. I don't know. Anyway, I don't know if she thought that about Steve. But anyway, perhaps they lost control and who knows, love. And then obedience, you know, obedience seems to be in the world of, you know, traffic wardens and speed limits and rules and courts and prisons can all perhaps sound a bit dreary and boring and hard and difficult. Anyway, love and obedience are two of the themes of our reading today, and we'll see that they go together. So let's have the first reading now from 1 John. Lots could be said about this reading, but perhaps we'll just notice these themes of love and obedience. Thank you, Gail.
So the first reading is taken from 1st Epistle of John, chapter 5, verses 1 to 6. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. This is love for God, to obey his commands, and his commands are not burdensome, for everyone born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. This is the one who came by water and blood, Jesus Christ. He did not come by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit who testifies, because the Spirit is the truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God, and thank you to you. Yeah, so let's have the next slide, please. So, just one thing to notice in this reading, that new birth new life from God, being born again, and believing in Jesus, those two things go together, and then lead to obeying God's commandments and love. Loving God and loving one another. And if you've got your phone, you might like to photograph this equation. This is very important for the Christian life. You know, people sometimes separate these things when they belong together. They sometimes get the order wrong. I think there are probably lots of people in our society who think that Christianity is basically saying, well, be a bit better, try harder, pull your socks up, you know, and maybe if you're good enough, God will love you and let you into his heaven. Now, that really isn't what the Bible is saying. Obeying God's commands and loving God and loving others are very important. But the Bible would say that these are the consequences of new birth and belief in Jesus. It says God changes our hearts, that will be seen in our lives and our behaviour. These things, obedience to God's commandments and love, we might say they're the fruit, the root, the source, is the new birth which God gives us in his kindness and generosity, which we receive by trusting in Jesus. So, that sum, that equation, that little diagram, is very important and profound, and it will be good for us to reflect on it. But now we're going to have our second reading that follows on from the reading we had last week in John's Gospel. So, Annabelle is going to read this for us. Thank you, Annabelle.
The second reading is taken from John chapter 15, verses 9 to 17. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command. Love each other. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Allah. So, Jesus speaking to his disciples there. You might like to keep it open on John 15, page 1083. Well, let's have the next slide up, please, Martin. Now, who can remember being in church last week? Some people are willing to admit it. You were here, weren't you, Maya? What? Too long ago, can't remember. Who knows what happened last Sunday? Oh, dear. Now, so, please tell me last week's reading slash sermon. Sorry? Yeast? I think you must be in a different church scene, if I'm sorry. Yeah. Ah, the vine. Something about a vine. Yes, there's a clue. So, can we elaborate on that at all? Remain in Christ and he'll remain in us. Okay, so, Jesus said to his disciples, I am the vine, you are the branches. Okay? And he said, remain in me. Actually, 10 times in this chapter, it says, remain or abide or stay in Jesus. Do you remember we thought about, well, what would happen to a branch if it didn't remain in the vine? It would die, wouldn't it? Wither, die, fruitless. So the way to be fruitful in the Christian life is to remain in Jesus, to believe in him, depend on him, trust in him, be united to him, by the Holy Spirit. Have the life of God, of the Holy Spirit, the sap of Jesus, if you like, flow from Jesus into you, the branches. And if we remain in Jesus, trusting in him, we'll naturally be healthy, spiritually speaking, will naturally have spiritual life, will naturally bear fruit. And we saw that it's important that Jesus' words remain in us. That's one way we remain in Jesus, by remembering his words and putting them into practice. And Jesus continues to expand on this today. What does life in Jesus the vine look like? What is the fruitful Christian life? And we've got three quick headings. Next one, please, Martin. So here's the fruitful life according to Jesus. First of all, it means remaining in Jesus' love. See that there in verse 9? Jesus says, as God the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Amazing, isn't it? The same love which God the Father has for the Son, God the Son, Jesus shares with us. We're invited into that chain of love, that family of love. Now remain in my love. How are we to do that, verse 10? Well, by obeying Jesus' commandments. Jesus thinks love and obedience go together. Jesus says, verse 10, if you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. That same pattern working its way out. I have told you this, so that my joy may be in you, and your joy may be complete. So, the Christian life, the life of remaining in Jesus, abiding in Jesus, staying in Jesus, dwelling in Jesus, having Jesus' words remain in us, it's a life of love, it's a life of joy, it's a life of fruitfulness. And verse 12, Jesus says, well, love my friends. Obey my commands, verse 10. And what is my command, verse 12? Well, here it is, that you love each other as I have loved you. You could have a whole sermon, couldn't we, on what is the love of Jesus like? The deep, deep love of Jesus, vast, unmeasured, boundless, free, yes, vast of the ocean, that's you're remembering another hymn there, yes, the great love of Jesus. Thankfully, the position of Messiah is taken. You'll be pleased to hear you don't have to die for the sins of the world. But Jesus says, well, we're meant to be like little Jesuses, with the self-giving, self-sacrificial love of Jesus. Love others as I have loved you. Sometimes the Bible talks about God loving us, even though we're his enemies. So here, the picture is different. Jesus says, I love you not only as servants, but as friends. Okay, so it's not a contrast between friends and enemies. It's a contrast between friends and servants. Now, obviously we are servants of Jesus. But Jesus here calls his disciples his friends. Look again at verse 13. Greater love has no one than this, and he lays down his life for my friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. So there's obedience again. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I've learned from the Father, I've made known to you. Now, some members of the Lloyd family have been re-watching some of Downton Abbey. I think if you're a Downton Abbey fan, we've got the Earl of Grantham in charge of it all, and he has a great many servants, doesn't he? And of course, they have to do as they're told. The maids, and you know, the maid might be told, well, make up 5 of the guest bedrooms, and she just goes and does it. She obeys. But Mr. Carson, the head butler, is in a slightly different position, isn't he, in the family? He's still a servant, of course, but he's almost a sort of trusted advisor of Lord Grantham, isn't he? Almost a friend. He knows much of his master's business. Well, in fact, it's so gossipy, they all know each other's business. But he's sort of let into the family secret, almost, isn't he? So, for example, the maid might be told, well, make up 5 guest bedrooms, she just goes and does it. Mr. Carson will be told something a bit different, won't he? Well, there's going to be a shooting party. Mr. Carson will know, once again, that 5 different suitors are coming, and, you know, one of them might possibly marry Mary. But he knows his master's business. And so it is with us and Jesus. Certainly we are servants, but we're more than servants. We're friends. We're let in on the family business. We almost, as it were, have a partnership with God. Now, obviously, we don't know what God's going to do in the world on Tuesday afternoon, but we do know the big picture, don't we? It's been revealed to us that Jesus died and rose, he poured out his spirit. What is God doing in the world? Well, he's bringing in the nations. He's sending us with the good news of the Lord Jesus to the whole world. And then Jesus will come again and wrap up human history. We know the Father's business. We're like Moses or Abraham or the prophets in the Old Testament, in the sense that we are included and drawn in. What God is doing is what we're doing, because we know him and love him. We're not merely his servants, but his friends. So remain in Jesus. That's the secret of spiritual life and health and flourishing, of a fruitful life. Remaining in Jesus means remaining in his love, obeying his commands, and loving Jesus' friends. Let's just be quiet for a moment, and then I'll lead us in a prayer. Now, Father, we thank you for your great promise that you'll give us whatever we ask in Jesus' name. Thank you that you have made known to us something of your will and purpose for the world. And so we pray for your glory, that we might have this life of Jesus in us, that we might remember his words and put them into practice. Help us to remain in Jesus' love, to obey his commandments, and to love you and Jesus' friends, that we might bear much fruit to your glory. Amen.